complete dependence upon our Lord to help us, that he may grant the truth of his holy word to enter and abide in our hearts. I'd ask your prayerful attention by way of a text to Paul's epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 13 and verse 8. Paul's epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 13 and verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. This verse, in particular in recent years and days, even today, has given rise to many questions, particularly in the minds of children and of young people, as well as older people. How can Jesus Christ be the same yesterday and today and forever, when he was upon the earth, did many miracles? But today we do not see such. How can he be the same? Therefore the word concerning Jesus is not true. There is not the miracles of the healing of the sick and the casting out of devils as when he was upon this earth. There is not the rising from the dead of those of whom we read of in the Bible. Therefore, Jesus is not the same as he was yesterday, today, and forever. And this has led many a mind, many a heart, to declare that the religion of the Christian faith, is not true. It is imagination in one's mind. It is just a way of life, a custom, a practice, of which there is no benefit upon this earth. And therefore many, even if they were brought up to attend the house of God, they have left it. Well, we are content, they say, with the benefits we have today. If we are sick, we have the medical profession. If we are hungry, we can go to the shops and we can purchase that which we have need of. We are comfortable. We have no need of such thoughts and such disciplines, such a way of life. We will go our own way, as we have determined by our own thoughts and our own feelings. Dear friends, I wonder if there's any here this morning of which such questions arise in your hearts and minds. That Jesus is not the same yesterday and today and forever. Our reasoning minds can lead us in many directions, can't they? Now, there's several things we must recognise, and I want to speak as simply as I can. For you young children, and also young people, each of us. When Jesus was upon this earth, there is no doubt he did many miracles. But why did Jesus perform these miracles when he was upon earth? He did them to show to the people openly that he was more than just a man, more than just a mere man, like everyone else was. He was the Son of God. He was God. He was the promised one who should come, the Messiah of the Old Testament, of the prophets. He had power far greater than man. And so these miracles were performed. We read of two this morning. The healing of that woman who had a constant bleeding. She sought to the medical profession. She sought to the physician. And she could not be healed. And that was for a period of 12 years. And another gospel tells us that she spent everything that she had and had rather grown worse. But coming unto Jesus in the way that she did, touching the hem of his garment, as she was made whole. She was healed. The miracle of healing. As one touched, as she did, the hem of Jesus' garment. And she testified, didn't she, before all the people, what had taken place and how she had come to be healed. And how they were amazed. And we also read of the healing. Well, the raising of the dead of Jairus' daughter. Now she was dead. The people mourned, they lamented. And when Jesus said she was just asleep, they laughed him, made mockery of him. But he spake the word, "Little maid, arise," and she arose. And he said, "Give her food to eat." Now, these were amazing miracles which Jesus did. And yet, although he did these miracles, for the most part, people did not believe that he was the Son of God. They did not believe in him. Though he did many miracles amongst them, they did not believe. You know, that is the same today. If Jesus was amongst us today and did many miracles, it would not make us believe. We read, I'm sure your children know the case of those 10 lepers. And what a terrible thing leprosy is. They could not be healed. There was no one who could give a cure. They could not even, like that woman, try going to the physicians. They could not administer any cure for leprosy. They were in isolation. We know something today, don't we? With this pandemic virus of being in isolation. Hoping to then be clear and be confirmed clear of that disease, that infection. But they had no hope. Their isolation was just to wait for that leprosy to get stronger and stronger until they died. Well, there was no isolation hospital. There was no ventilator. There's no medical means at all for them. They cried unto Jesus for him to heal them. And he did. He said, go show yourselves to the priest. As a testimony that they were healed. And as they went, they were healed. They were cleansed. The leprosy left them. And what happened there? 9 out of 10, for the most part, they just then carried on in their earthly life. Thankful, of course, that they were healed. But just returned to the way they had conducted their daily lives before they had the disease. There was no true thanksgiving. No believing that through the miracle that was even performed on them, that Jesus was the Son of God, the promised Messiah. And that multitude of 5,000, when Jesus fed them with the 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. What a miracle. And they desired to make him a king. Not because they believed he was the Son of God. Not because they believed that he was the promised Messiah. But because they received of the bread and they were filled. For their earthly benefit, a benefactor in earthly things. Jesus did these many miracles as an evidence to those people at that time that he was the Son of God. And yet he brought, for the most part, none of them, hardly any of them, to the knowledge of the truth. Now, what was the truth? The truth was that Jesus, the Son of God, came to save sinners from their sin. Now, that is how Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Saviour of sinners. He came for that short time upon this earth. All the many miracles that he did. We think of the evidence given to the Pharisees and those when he healed the palsied man. When they let this palsied man, his friends, let him down to his feet. And Jesus said, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. They accused Jesus of blaspheming. Why, they'd even accused Jesus of casting out devils by the prince of the devils. Who can forgive sins but God only? And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, knowing their hearts, said, which is easiest, to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, take up thy bed and walk? An impossible thing for them to physically witness. But that ye should know that the Son of Man hath power to forgive sins. He said to the sick of the palsy, rise up, take up thy bed and walk, and go into thy house. And he did. The power to forgive sins, evident through the many miracles that he did, but they did not believe. Oh, how solemn. How solemn is the power of unbelief. Even that brings us to say and think in our hearts and minds that the word of God is not true, that Jesus is not the same. He is the Saviour of sinners. There's no greater miracle, was there? than when he gave his life a sacrifice for sin. He, holy, pure, Son of God, and yet took upon himself the sins of all for whom he should die. That the punishment for sin, the price demanded by the law, should be paid by him. That sinners should be saved from the wrath of God which is to come. And that wondrous and glorious day of his rising again from the dead, to testify, to give eternal life to all those that believe on him. Now that is how Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, do think of that, remember that it's the forgiveness of our sins. It has been since the beginning of time. It was the same in the Old Testament. We read of what was said to be the first or the eldest book of the Bible. That is the book of Job. What did Job say? I know that my Redeemer liveth. Even before Jesus Christ came upon this earth, he was the same. In eternity past, the Son of God, the eternal Son of God. He was the same in the beginning of the creation of this world. He'll be the same unto the end. A redeemer of sinners. The one who would pay the price demanded by the law. Oh, Job, he was way before Jesus came in time. To suffer, bleed, and die. But by faith he believed. By faith he knew that he was a sinner and he needed the forgiveness of his sins. And it was revealed to him that Jesus, the Son of God, and the Redeemer would come and blot out all of his transgression. And he would see him in heaven above. I will behold him, says Job, and not another. The same, Jesus the same, ever the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. And then we have the psalmist, don't we? Asaph. Who gives a wonderful testimony of what he was and of a Jesus Christ. Asaph was born of the Levites and he was brought up to attend to the administration of the worship of God. There were many things that had to be attended to, wasn't there? In the worship of God under the law given to Moses. And the Levites were appointed to do these things, in the cleansings and the various things that had to be performed, and the sacrifices and the pouring out of the sacrifices, the blood and the altar and everything like that. And he did not want to go there. He did not find any benefit in it. His mind and his heart were against these things. And when he considered the ways of those who denied the worship of God, who denied and did not want anything to do with the worship of God, he saw their prosperity. He said, they have more than heart can wish. They increase in rich riches. They prosper in this world. They say, how does God know? Is there knowledge in the Most High? They question whether there is God, whether he is the all-knowing, all-seeing God. And don't we the same in left to our own thoughts and feelings and minds when we consider all things about us? How does God know? Is there a God? Verily, verily, Oh, verily, I have cleansed my heart, he said, in vain. I've done all these things outwardly in the worship of God. It's no benefit to me. I'm going to go their way. And he had almost gone. His feet had well nigh slipped. He'd very nearly come to that point when he would leave that in which he was born, a Levite, and go the way of the wicked, those who did not believe in God or were concerned about those things. You know, we can all have thoughts and feelings like that, can't we? Even though we've been brought up as a child to attend to the worship of God in the house of God today. Or when we become independent, when we are not no longer need to be on the influence of our parents. I'm going to go the way the others go. Their way seems much better than mine. Through the mercy of God, the Lord's hand became heavy upon him. He came to realize that these things, he said, I was chastened and plagued every morning. The Lord's hand was heavy upon him, caused him to be grieved over these thoughts he was having and whether they were right. And he went into the house of God. He went into the sanctuary. And God revealed to him the end of those wicked ones. He revealed to Asaph the end of those who feared not God. Those who only gloried in the riches and the things of this world. He showed them that their end was eternal damnation, eternal death. Even with Satan himself. And this delivered Asaph from his thoughts. This delivered Asaph from his ungodly feelings and desires. What did it bring him to say? Oh, to confess his sin. He said, I was as a beast before thee, the one without any hope. But what did he come to say? Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. Whom have I in heaven but thee? There's none upon earth whom I desire beside thee. In fact, we can look at that in several ways, but looking at it in this particular way. Like Job, he had a Redeemer now in heaven, the Lord Jesus, who had pardoned all his sin, all his evil thoughts, all that which he had considered to do, had been blotted out through the sacrifice for sin. Not of a lamb and a bullock, of the outward form of the Jews, but of the Son of God. And he desired that him to be upon this earth to sacrifice himself as the Lamb of God for to blot out the sin of his soul. Whom have I in heaven but thee? Whom have I on earth but thee? He knew he himself upon this earth that he was a sinner saved by the grace of God in the gift of his Son. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, all that time gone by, today is the same and forever. Did we read Psalm 16 last Lord's Day morning? Wasn't that the psalm of David? And David, who had been brought unto the knowledge of the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He said, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thy Holy One. The Holy One of God was the gift of his Son here upon this earth, who would give his life a sacrifice for sin, who would be buried in the tomb. We will not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. No, he would cause him to rise. Bring him again, because of he was his righteous Son. There was no sin in him. But he would justify many. pay the price for their sins. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. He believed in the death and the resurrection of Jesus, whom he called the Lord. The Lord God hath said unto my Lord, Jesus Christ, his Saviour, his Redeemer, his friend. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Saviour of sinners. What about the new church? The church, and we read in the New Testament, well, there is the Roman church, the Corinthians, the Galatians, the Ephesians, the Philippians, the Thessalonians, or whatever we look at. Did they see Jesus? They didn't see Jesus as we don't see Jesus. But they believe. Jesus had said to Thomas, aren't he? Blessed are they that have not seen. They haven't seen all the miracles that Jesus had done whilst he was here upon the earth. But they have believed. They believe that he is the Saviour of sinners. And how did they come to believe? Through the preached word of the gospel of Jesus Christ, of that which he had done whilst he was here upon this earth. Our gospel, says Paul, came not in word only, but in power, in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance. Now, dear friends, that's how we come to believe. You children, young people, each of us, that's how we come to believe. There's no other way we can savingly believe, but through the power of the Holy Ghost. Oh, we thank God for the Godhead, don't we? Father, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, the Father who hath determined all things, the Son who hath paid the price of sin to destroy its power and destroy Satan, the glorious truth concerning his mercy, and that to be revealed in us, guilty that we are of many sins, by the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. And through the teaching of the Holy Spirit, it's revealed in us, yes, Christ is the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. The Holy Ghost. Oh, that precious, vital gift of God. We read of it, didn't we, in Luke chapter 11, when Jesus was teaching his disciples concerning prayer. And he said in that last verse, we read verse 13, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him. To them that ask him. Oh, it's a vital prayer, isn't it? Lord, give me of thy Spirit, thy Holy Spirit, to be my teacher, to teach me what I am, a guilty sinner before thy face. In my flesh, in me upon this earth, there is no good thing acceptable to thee. Oh, I'm full of sin and full of evil desires. My heart, as the Bible tells me, is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. I only want the love of vain and worldly carnal things. And I do not want thee to rule over me. I want to go my own way. I want mine own will. I want my own plans, I want my own schemes. But oh, pray for the Spirit to teach you the end of that way, the end of the wicked. For the wicked God is not in all their thoughts. and teach me and show me the way that is to eternal life, to heaven. Show me Jesus. Show me the Saviour of sinners. Bring me humbly to that footstool of his mercy. Teach me to pray, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Oh, help me to pour out my heart before him. For the Bible tells me that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. That's how he's the same yesterday, today and forever. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And put that knowledge within me. Put that knowledge within me that I'm a sinner, but I'm saved by his grace. Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, Jesus has prayed for such, hasn't he? That they shall be, oh, the one, eternally one in heaven with God, with Christ. For as he prayed to his Father before he died, he prayed for those who would believe on him through the word, the preach word, through the word of the disciples who would immediately send out. And the Lord has sent out the ministers of his gospel ever since. But the word of the minister won't do any good unless it's in the power of the Holy Spirit, who gives us faith to believe, faith to see the truth concerning ourselves and as it is in Jesus. And this is the first and foremost which we should seek for as man. Seek first, says Jesus, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, sorry, and his righteousness. His righteousness. That's through faith in Jesus Christ. And all other things shall be added unto us. Now that's a promise, isn't it? When Jesus taught his disciples to pray here for the Holy Spirit, he also told them to pray for other things. He prayed that his will, God's will, shall be done. To pray for our daily bread, our daily food. To pray to be kept from temptations. To pray to be delivered from evil. In other words, to pray to God for the supply of all of our need. And to be our guide in life's pathway. That we do what is right in his sight, in accordance with his will. To cast all our cares upon him, everything concerning us upon him. For we have that promise, don't we? As Paul said, proved it himself, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now it's in this way we see the miracles today. The miracles the Lord will do for his people in the time of their need, when they commit their way unto him. Now, not great and wondrous things openly, probably for the most part, no. But they're revealed in the hearts of those who have need of his great power and of his mercy to help them in times of trouble, times of difficulty. And when Satan perhaps has a great influence against them, there's a throne of grace to where we come believing that he can do exceeding abundantly above what we ask or think. Now notice this, Jesus will supply all of our need, not all of our wants. We may often, may dictate how we want Jesus to answer our needs. But it's his will is to be done, not ours. And he will perform that which he will And it'll be for the profit, the good of our souls, our belief that we grow in His grace and the knowledge of His love. We ever need teaching, don't we? Oh, you can read many books, many testimonies, many obituaries, that means accounts of people's lives, where the Lord as today still performs those miracles. Has heard and answered their prayers. And so He is the same today. I suppose we're many here and we can give examples of these things. You know that when I was made redundant, I didn't think we'd have enough money to continue beyond 3 months. But I was out of work for a year. But through prayer and committing our way unto the Lord, we never went into debt. Our need was supplied. Now here's a little miracle. Some people wouldn't say it's a miracle, but it is. I once took my children swimming. And whilst they were, when I got there, I felt so constrained to go and see our elderly deacon at that time, Mr. Christian, at his home. I'd never done it before, but whilst they were swimming, I went to his house, knocked at the door, nobody came. I got a key in my pocket, I went in, and there he was on the floor. Oh, he said, I've been praying for you to come. I've been praying for you to come to help me get up. Now, that's a miracle. That shows that God is God, Christ is Christ, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's a prayer hearing and answering God. And above all, He's the Saviour of sinners. He that spared not His own Son, God who spared not His own Son, Jesus Christ, but gave Him up, caused Him to die, made Him, asked Him Himself the sacrifice for sins, power to lay down His life, gave Him up for us all. How much more shall He freely with Him give us all things? Jesus the same, yesterday, today, and forever. There are four words in the Bible which come together in one place. Those four words say, there is no God. But what are the words which go before it? The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. All you children, young people, each of us, let us not be a fool and say there is no God. He still reigns. Christ Jesus, the Saviour of sinners, still reigns. There's been no taking away of that power. And the Holy Spirit is still given. And that's the power we need, isn't it? We sang of it. Spirit of truth, come down. Reveal the things of God. Oh, grift to me, shall make to me salvation known. And witness with the blood. No man, no one can truly say that Jesus is the Lord, except thou as the Holy Spirit take the veil, the ignorance, the darkness, the unbelief away from us and breathe the living word, Christ in us, the hope of glory, the pardon of the pardon for our sins and our peace with God. Now this is why we're here this morning, isn't it? That's why we come, because it's Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, the Saviour of sinners. Oh, I pray that the Holy Spirit will come, be poured out in this evil day, touch each of your hearts, and grant you that knowledge of your soul's salvation, a hope of eternal life, through saving belief in Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. His blood cleanseth us from all of our sins.